Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, listen, I'm going to try something before I ask you guys to join me in prayer in speaking with you this morning. I want to try something. I think, I'm pretty sure you guys will know how to respond to this. So I'm going to say, God is good. And you're going to say, and then I'm going to say all the time. All right, you guys, you did A plus for that. Will you guys join me in prayer? God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We just have to just pause in silence, honestly. And think about how much you love us, how much you care for us. Lord, a lot of us in this room today will be at a crossroads of decisions. We'll have two paths set before us. We will be able to choose the path of life, or we will be able to choose the path of deception that leads nowhere. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear your word this morning, that we might choose the path of life. God, I pray you be with me. I'm not someone special. I'm just somebody that needed you. I'm a nobody that you called somebody. And you saved me, and I'm so grateful for that. And I just pray you be with me as I communicate to these people, because, Lord, I can't convince them that you love them. But you can show them through your Holy Spirit. And that's what I ask. I ask your Spirit would have freedom in here today. Lord, that your love would lay on us today. Lord, that we would know you love us and that you care for us deeply. So again, just be with us in this brief time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So my wife says that I have a real problem. All right, now I'll get into that problem. But you see, when things at my house, when they break, I am bound and determined to fix them myself, right? Like if the whip breaks down, I pop the hood open and I get busy, you know? And a lot of times I get after it and I haven't even looked at an instruction manual, the car manual. And I just try to figure out what is it that is causing this problem in my car, right? So I pop open the hood and I get busy with it. And I gotta be honest with you, I have like a knack for seeing when things go awry, and I have the ability, generally speaking, to mess with them until they start working, you know, because I can look at that and say, this seems like it should be doing this, but it's not. And so I'm able to figure that out. But I know that even if I can't figure it out on my own, I can pull out the manual. So if I get stuck, and this is kind of I'm giving you my process for how I fix things. If I get stuck after having opened up the hood of the whip, or if I get stuck after pulling out an appliance at my house and I'm trying to fix it, then I always pull out a manual, or even better, I Google a YouTube video. Anybody ever do that? Fix something with a YouTube video? All right. Yeah. Amen. Can I get an amen for that? And I'll tell you honestly, with the right manual or the right video that gives instructions, generally I can get out of trouble, right? I can figure it out. But there are those times, and here's where my wife says I have the biggest problem. There are those times where I just simply need to pick up the phone and call somebody. Someone that knows a little bit more about the thing I'm trying to fix. Or maybe, dare I say, a professional. And I'll be honest with you, the biggest problem I have is knowing when to call that professional to ask for that help. Because I've made a mess of things and I need someone to fix it. This morning I want to talk to you just briefly about taking that same process that I oftentimes use and applying it to the broken vehicle that we call life. I mean, it doesn't take us but a second to look in our world and realize that life is broken. There isn't a person in here that, if they're being honest, wouldn't agree with that. In fact, it's often said, you know what, religions, they can't, like the multiple religions in the world can't agree on anything. Well, actually, they do. They all believe that something in this world is broken.
and needs fixed.
You know, when you just think about kids growing up without parents, or parents having to bury their kids, or it seems like just about every other day there's a news story about a shooting that happens in our country, we quickly come to the realization that this life needs some fixing. And honestly, those are just things out there, right? Maybe some of those things, they never even touch us. They don't even affect us. But then we think about our own personal lives. We think about the brokenness that we've caused in our own families, in our own lives by the choices we make. And the question that we have to answer is how are we going to try to fix this? Right, like I know in my own life, I've made a mess of things at times. Anybody else in here just raise your hand? You may make a mess of things sometimes in your life. Well, when we look at our life and we say, you know what, look at this mess I've made. A lot of times the first thing we try to do is we try to fix it. And honestly, I got to be real with you this morning. We try to fix it without a manual. We just think, all right, this is going to be a good idea. I'll try this. Or I heard my buddy say that this worked for their family, so I'll try this. You know, a good example of humans trying to fix things is the government. Yeah, we've been arguing and fighting about the same problems in our country for years and years and years. And guess what? We still haven't come up with a solution. And that's on both sides, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, or anarchist, we all can agree that those problems that we face as a country, they aren't going away. It seems like every solution we try to come up with doesn't solve the problem. Because in the end of the day, every politician's going to let us down. Every one of our attempts to help ourselves is going to leave us still looking at things and saying, well, it's still kind of a mess. When we try to solve life's issues without a manual, we are left looking foolish. Psalms 14, 1 through 5 says this, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they do vile deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the human race to see if anyone is wise. He finds no one. The one who seeks God, all who have turned away, all alike have become corrupt. There is no one that does good, not even one. Will evildoers never understand? They consume my people as they consume bread. They do not call upon the Lord. Then they will be filled with dread." And it says this, "For God is with those who are righteous." See, honestly, Psalms 14, 1 through 5, what I just read to you, I think that is a snapshot from the Bible of what it looks like when people try to fix problems on their own. They make a mess of things, right? It says that they become corrupt, that no one actually does what is good. And they are foolish because they're trying to approach life without the manual. So that leads us to step two, again, in my process of how I fix things with regards to life, right? Step one, try to fix it without a manual. Step two, try to fix it with a manual. The Bible teaches us there is a manual that was given. We call it God's law, or some of us would know it's the Ten Commandments, right? Many of you guys are probably familiar with this manual. It used to be that in our country they had it posted in courthouses and at schools. They don't do that anymore. They took them away. But that manual was given to Moses, and God told Moses, he said, listen, if you will follow these commandments, these Ten Commandments, then blessing will follow your life. But if you will reject these Ten Commandments, curses will fall upon your life. And honestly, if you think about it, if you're familiar at all, you don't have to like know this inside and out, but if you're familiar at all with the storyline of the Bible, what you find out quickly is that even though God gives his people the manual and it is put inside their hands, they don't follow it. They try and they try and they try. And I'm willing to bet that a lot of you in this room, if you're being honest, you try, I know I try to live the right life, but I still make a mess of things. I still make a mess of things, even with the manual in my hand. You know, I think about the Ten Commandments. You know, if I'm honest, I don't stack well up against them. I've told plenty of lies, right? That's a commandment. Don't lie. There's been millions of times where I didn't put God first. That's a commandment. Don't have any other gods before me. Even though I haven't committed adultery, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that if I look at a woman with lust in my heart, that I've committed adultery. So that I'm an adulterer. I'm guilty of doing that. Coveting? I've definitely looked across at greener grass and been jealous. I don't know if there's anybody in this room feel like that. Oh, I'm jealous of the people around us. Wait, they have that and I don't. Their life seems better than mine. Right? Coveting. I don't always honor my father and my mother. I've definitely worshipped idols in my life by putting other things before God. And I'm telling you, and this is coming from, I'm trying so hard to follow this thing. I just fall short. I just fall short. So step one didn't work. Try to solve life's problems without the manual. Step two seems to not be working either. Right, Galatians 3:10 and 11 says this, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the law is cursed. Now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith. What this is saying is unless we follow the manual perfectly, the manual is useless. That makes sense to those of us who understand manuals. If you skip steps in the instructions when you're building a car, there's going to be problems. Okay? You don't add a certain thing down the road, there's going to be the check engine light. And who knows, maybe the car will blow up. Hopefully not, right? Hopefully not. But what Paul is trying to get at here is our manual, the law, it doesn't actually work for us. But here's the thing, it's kind of ironic because God knew that it wasn't going to work. God gave it to us to prove to us that we can't fix it on our own. He gave us, in fact, that's what in Galatians 3, Paul says that the law is a tutor that leads us to Christ. It's a teacher that teaches us that we need Christ. It is the very law that makes us all realize that we fall incredibly short of God's standard. And it's not meant to be offensive to us. It's meant to open our eyes. That we see our need for a Savior. Which leads us to step three. Step three is picking up the phone and calling the professional. Right? And obviously in our case, the professional is Christ. I'm telling you this today, brothers and sisters, we cannot fix life. We can't. We often try to either fix life or mask the problems, right? I know every single one of us in here has those vices that we go to try to hide the pain. We try to rid ourselves of the having to think about our problems and our pain. But that doesn't work either. It just leaves us feeling empty. See, we need to swallow our pride and we need to call the professional. We need to call upon the one person, Jesus Christ, that can save us. Listen to this. Romans 5, 18 through 21 says this. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. And women, by the way. For as by one man's disobedience, there were many that were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I know that's kind of a wordful verse, but really the heart behind that is this. Look, God, and I kind of hinted at it a minute ago, God gave us this law, and what it did, it actually didn't make us any better. It made us worse because we realized how incredibly short we fall in comparison to God's holiness and His goodness and His awesomeness. But see, what's cool is that God didn't just let us continue to make a mess of things. He looks at us and he says, look, I'm going to provide a way that you can actually fix the problems in your life. I'm going to provide a way that you can actually find a solution. And what he did is he sent Jesus, right, to live on this earth as a man. And here's the thing. This verse says that Jesus actually obeyed the manual. Hebrews says that Jesus was tempted like we are in every single way, except he was without sin. Never once did he transgress or break one of the commandments that God has given to us. And so he properly executed the instructions on the manual. And he's saying this, listen, I did it right so that you could get credit for doing it right. But here's how it works. I'm going to take upon myself the punishment that you deserve for your wrongdoings. I'm going to take upon myself the torment and the consequences of your sins. And I'm going to bear that, and I'm going to die on a cross for you so that I can rightly forgive you for the things you've done that are wrong. And then, I'm not just going to die, I'm going to rise again. And here's why this is important. It validates the fact that Jesus actually completed the instructions on the manual. It proves that he has power over our sin. It proves that he has power over brokenness. It proves that he has power over death. It proves that he has power over our problems. Because he's that powerful, a man that can raise himself from the dead and say, death, you have no victory. You have no sting. You have no ability to hold me as a slave. I am not a slave to sin because Jesus died for me. And get this, you know, when I break something in my car, I can pull out a phone book or, you know, no one does that anymore. They pull out their phone, they Google, whatever. I can find a list of qualified individuals that can come and fix my car. But here's the thing. The list when it comes to life is only one person long. One person long. In the list, it's named right there, Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other person, no other professional, no other way, just Jesus, right? Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so here is my admonition, my challenge. It's not even a challenge because I can't set forth the challenge. But my prayer for you this morning is if you are in this room and you have been trying time and time and time again to try to fix your life problems, and you have not called upon the name of Jesus Christ to be saved, my prayer is that you would do that today. Don't leave here today without saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you right now. Don't leave today without making that decision. And the Bible makes it's so incredible. It's so much easier than the Ten Commandments. Right? The Bible also gives us instructions. How exactly do you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is Jesus' telephone number? You want to know what Jesus' telephone number is? It's this. God, save me. It's just us crying out, God, save me. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose again from the dead. And I am entrusting my life to you. And the Bible says when you type in that number and you call it and you want to talk to Jesus, he will answer. And he will give you what you need. He will give you what you need. Now, I do want to close with this because this is something that the Lord really placed on my heart this last week. You know, obviously for the last several minutes, I'm talking to all of us, but really I was focusing on people who have never trusted in Jesus. But I don't want to leave here this morning without offering something that the Lord placed on my heart for those of us who have already done that. And I'm talking to myself here too. Because here's what oftentimes happens. For those of us in this room that have already trusted and placed our faith in Jesus Christ, it's real easy for us to forget that we need to continue to call on Jesus. You know, I wrestle with my identity a lot of times. And I'll tell you, one of my biggest insecurities is this. I believe that I sometimes believe, not this morning, but I wake up a lot of days and I believe that my value to God is only equal to the work I'm doing for Him. You know, I'm a pastor at Grace Bible Church up the road. And I got to be honest, sometimes I get my identity wrapped up in the good things I do for God. And I base my understanding of God's love for me off of how well I'm doing. So on those days that I'm checking the boxes, I'm like, yes, God loves me. But on those days where I'm making a mess of things, I'm like, God doesn't love me very much. That's just me being real. So I wrote this poem recently on one of those days where I was really wrestling with my identity. And honestly, this poem, it kind of entails some people in Scripture. So if you want to, you know, talk about who are you talking about, because there's some names in there from the Bible that made most of them are pretty common names. But I'm going to go ahead and spit this poem to you and see if you like it. It's not a rap. It's kind of like a spoken word kind of thing. But I put this: some days I simply feel like the worst part of David. I wish I could claim his zeal, but only suffer his Achilles heel. I wish that I could match his trust, but often only amount to his lust. Right, David? If you know that story, he went to Bathsheba and he committed sin, lust. David, a man after God's own heart. Me, just a man wishing to be set apart. Too often my heart beats straight to the world's rhythm and rhyme, constantly violating goodness and committing heinous crimes, forfeiting treasure to accumulate trash, totally forgetting my righteous deeds are like worthless rags. Trying to amount to find my value and worth, convinced that the kingdom advanced at the day of my birth. Do this, check that, see the work I put in. Surely without me, this world be condemned. I mean, really, no, really, who could fit in my shoes? I sprint for the kingdom. I pay all my dues. I put in the hours and I say all the right things. I even share scripture and point to the king. But there is the problem, the thing that I missed. I made life an equation, a manageable list. When I'm checking the boxes, I throw up my victory fists. But when the boxes are empty, I return to the pit. The pit of my sins, where temporary comfort is found. I cave into temptation. I reunite with the ground. Scuffed up knees where my skin hits the ground. Tear-stained floor while I look to the clouds. Lord, forgive me. You have my attention. I'm sorry for hustling. Just to get my name mentioned, my name in the lights, in marquees next to David. No, now I simply want to rest in amazement. Look at your name as I lay on the pavement, pavement made of gold, so that I will remember that prostrate on the ground is the posture I need to behold the treasure. You ever think about that? I think the reason the floor is gold in heaven is because that's where our face is going to be. And it's going to remind us that on our face before Jesus is the place where we can truly see the treasure that Jesus is. As I stare at the ground, I finally find my meaning. It comes to me when I stop trying and when I begin leaning. Leaning on you, because in you I am purchased. It's you, it's in you that I'm whole. It's in you that I'm worth it. Who cares I'm not David, his best or his worst? I'm in Christ now, redeemed, and I'm free from the curse. And this is my hope for you this morning. I hope that all of us together, we can celebrate as we continue to sing, as we continue to as we eat the meal and we are thankful to God for His provision for us to have that meal. I hope we will remember that it isn't based on what we do or who we are that God loves us. It's simply us. He just loves us. He died for us. And the best way to get close to Him is not to do a bunch of things for Him. It's just to throw yourself at His feet and to trust Him. And if you do that, if you trust Him and you know that He loves you and you walk in that freedom of knowing that He loves you, it is then and only then that you will be able to face the problems in your life and you'll begin to see God faithfully fixing the brokenness. So my prayer is that you'll just trust Jesus today. Whether you're a person that's never trusted Jesus in your life, or even if you're like me, someone who's known Jesus for a long time, maybe it's just the need to remind you that we need Him every single day. We need Him every single day. Let's pray. God, thank You for being the God that loves us, that cares for us. I'm so thankful that fixing the problems in this world is not left up to me. We'd be in a lot of trouble. But I'm so grateful that You have a solution. Lord, Your word says that You're going to make all things new. I believe that to be true. I trust that promise. I pray that You would help all of us trust that promise. Lord, help us leave today, even after all the music's been played, after all the food has been had, after all the friendship and conversations have taken place. I pray we'd leave here today, walking out those doors with our heads held high, knowing that You love us and that You care for us. I pray we would walk in that identity. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.